Well, good morning, good morning. Welcome everyone, thank you for being here this morning on this rainy Sunday. And we appreciate you joining us for the last adult Bible class on Sunday for this term. We're going to have a little break for a few weeks, but I'm glad we can end on this lesson for this term. We've been talking about the subject of chastening for a while, haven't we? In Hebrews chapter 12, why don't we turn to Hebrews chapter 12 this morning? Thank you for being here. Hebrews chapter number 12. And as you know, Hebrews 11 is the great chapter of faith with examples of faith. And then Hebrews chapter 12 tells us how to live by faith. And in many ways, this subject comes up suddenly and unexpectedly, and God wants us to understand that His correction, His dealing with us in our lives, is a part of our life of faith. And we need to be careful not to forget God's chastening, His teaching, His correction, whether it's for discipline, whether it's for teaching. The word chasten means both. So it's not always because of sin that He chastens us. It's because He wants to teach us something, to educate us. And how many of you understand that as a Christian we are in a lifelong school of faith, a lifelong education? Until we see the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll all be in the school of faith. So this morning we are going to look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Let's read verse 11, and we'll commit this morning to the Lord in prayer. Hebrews 12:11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." This morning we're going to look at the joy of chastening. Seems like two opposite words, joy and chastening. But the Bible teaches us something we need to know. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and commit this morning to Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this class. We thank You for the Word of God. And Lord, we need Your Word to help each of us. Lord, we so often forget who You are and how You work in our lives. Lord, so often we find ourselves discouraged and, Lord, de-energized and just weary because we don't see what is happening around us, Lord, as what You've allowed and in Your control for the good of our faith. Lord, help us, we pray, to be instructed by You and by Your Word. May Your Holy Spirit be our teacher this morning, applying Your Word to our very lives and the situations we find ourselves in. Lord, help us, we pray, to believe in Your Word by faith and respond in faith this morning. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So this morning we're looking at something that seems impossible. The joy of chastening. Now, is that correct? An oxymoron is two words opposite to each other put together. Is that right? And that's what it seems to we see in verse 11. We see the word joyous, then we see the word chastening, and we wonder to ourselves, how can we be joyous under God's chastening? Now, that's not an easy thing to do, would you agree? Because it goes against every natural feeling that we have. God is dealing with us, God is correcting us, and He says that we can be joyous. Now, that's not a natural feeling to have. But it is God's will that we experience joy even while we endure pain. Now, remember the example of Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail. Now, these men were full of joy when they were preaching the gospel as they were seeing souls saved. But suddenly, these innocent men who were just declaring a message of love, isn't that true? Why would people be angry at them? Why would people want to hurt them? They were just preaching a message of love and of hope and salvation, and suddenly they were hauled away and beaten, not only thrown in prison, but beaten, black and blue, stripes and blood and all, thrown into the deepest, darkest prison in the Philippian jail. And there we find them doing what? They were singing praises to God. And just a little reminder, isn't it, that God does show us in His Word we can be joyous when we suffer. We can be joyous when we're facing trial. And God was working in Paul and Silas's life to help them in their journey of faith, to help them trust in Him in the darkest moments. And it is possible for you and I to experience joy while we are suffering. But it does seem impossible. So let's look at verse number 11 together. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. And good to see you all this morning. So our first blank in your notes, Roman numeral number 1, joy in the unseen. So your first blank is the word unseen. Now in studying this verse, I've learned some things. I used to take this verse the wrong way, and I used to think the Bible said that, you know, chastening cannot be joyous. You cannot have any joy in the time of chastening. That's not actually what the Bible says. In verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, notice what verse 11 says. Now no chastening for the present, what's the next word? Seemeth to be joyous. It doesn't seem that way. When you and I come under the correcting hand of God, what is our first natural reaction? To throw up our hands and say, Lord, why have you let this happen? Lord, why are you allowing this in my life? That's our natural reaction. This doesn't seem good for me. Does that sound familiar? I know it's familiar to me. Lord, I don't want this in my life. No chastening seemeth, it says, for the present seemeth to be joyous. But if you and I only look at what's happening in the present, this is what the verse is teaching us. If you and I only see what's happening right now, the situation we're in, we cannot be joyous. We cannot be happy. We need to have joy in the unseen, in what we cannot see. See, things in the school of faith are not what they seem. In fact, would you agree, in life, nothing is what it seems. That's the reality of the life we are in as Christians. And we have a very, very limited view of what's happening in our flesh. That's why we need to see what God has allowed in our lives by faith alone. That's why the subject is so important this year. The just shall live by faith. If you and I are not looking at the circumstances of our lives by faith, we will be very, very, very easily discouraged. Very easily downcast. The only way to experience joy in chastening is to recognize that which we cannot see with our eyes. That's why faith is impossible. That's why faith is so important. What is faith? Faith is believing in the unseen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we believe in the unseen, we can have joy. We can have peace in every circumstance. Well, what does that mean? Well, faith enables us to do what when we're chastened? Faith enables us to believe that God is in control. Is that right? See, if we only look at the problem in our lives, we start to panic. We start to doubt. We start to fear. But faith reminds us that God is always with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Is that correct? But that's a promise of faith that we must claim by faith. You know, when we go through a trial, we understand, yes, this is terrible. Yes, I'm taken aback by this. But at the same time, the Spirit of God is saying something to me that I don't really want to listen to, but it's true, and I know it's true. The Bible says it's true, that He worketh all things together for my good. He works all things together for good. He's always at work in my life for good. He's always doing something good in my life. And God is in control of everything, including this problem, including this trial, including this circumstance. See, even when everything goes wrong in our lives and we are suffering, God has not abandoned us. In fact, the opposite. God is working in our lives to bring us up and forward by faith. And that's the only way we can rejoice when we are chastened, is to have faith in the unseen. And faith is what makes it possible for us to endure. So if we insist on living by what we can see, well, what's the result? We will be discouraged, is that right? We will be de-energized. We will be diminished in our hope. We will be demotivated. Does it sound familiar? We will be depressed. That's what happens when we live by sight and not by faith. But if we live by faith, we can be encouraged as we look to God that God has a perfect reason for this in my life. He does everything perfectly. I was saying to someone the other day, you know, God is holy. What does that mean? Yes, he's sinless, but what does that mean? He cannot do anything wrong. God cannot sin, he cannot lie. He is holy, he always does everything right. That means this trial in my life is also perfectly designed by God to do something good through me, in me, for me. And that's why it's so impossible. That's why it's so important to have faith when we are chastened. You know, a lot of the times we get into a situation and we think to ourselves, well, look, it's impossible for my feelings to change about this. And I can't see any possible way to have joy in this situation. It's impossible. I know the Bible says this, but there's no way my feelings can change. There's no way my outlook can change. There's no way I can have joy in this present situation. The only way I can have joy is for this situation to be removed. But that's not true. When you and I exercise faith, we can have joy when we are chastened. 1 Thessalonians tells us two little words. Rejoice evermore. Now, we can't take that out of the Bible, can we? Rejoice evermore. Paul and Silas may have felt like complaining and murmuring and falling into the darkness of depression in that prison, but they made a choice to look to God by faith. They knew that God was in control. They knew that through this, if they exercise faith in God, something good is going to come out of it. Now, who can remember what good came out of it in the Philippian jail? What good came out of their joy in the Lord in the prison? That's right. The jailer was saved. The first church in Philippi began probably in the jailer's home. And remember, his family was also led to the Lord. Who knows who else was led to the Lord? And the point is this. God has a perfect reason. But we have to have faith first. We cannot overcome the fear and the doubt and the worry and the discouragement until we look to God by faith. Without faith, we will fall. And there's no way around that. Joy in the unseen. What does that mean? That means God wants us to have joy when? When we get to heaven? Only heaven? Not on this earth? No, now. Joy in the unseen. That's why the Christian life is the most wonderful life we can live. Because look, as an unsaved person, would you agree? We also had problems. Yes or no? Big problems, sin problems, eternal judgment approaching, the alienation from God that we live with and had so much confusion and fear and doubt. Now, as Christians, when we face trials, and we can now look to the living God and have joy in those trials. See, there's joy in the unseen. That's why faith is so important. Next in your notes, secondly, joy in the progress. How can we have joy while we're chastened? Well, we have to have joy in the unseen. Faith that God is at work for good. There in your notes, joy in the progress. Progress. Notice verse 11 with me. Your second blank is the word progress. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but things are not what they seem, but grievous. What's the next word? Nevertheless. Nevertheless, that's an important word. That's probably the key word in verse 11. Nevertheless. The word nevertheless, what does that mean? It means always the more. Always the more. Now, how does that fit in here? Well, this passage is teaching us that as we endure God's chastening, nevertheless, we will progress in the Christian life. We will move forward in the Christian life. If you and I are simply willing to endure what God sends our way, if we're willing to respond by faith, we will move forward in the Christian life. How can we have joy in chastening? Well, we understand that if God is at work in my life and I respond by faith, then I'm actually walking by faith. I'm actually doing what God wants me to do. I'm actually moving forward in my Christian life. As we think about the school of faith that we're in, we could talk about the reality of passing the grades, you know, going from year one, year two, year three, year four, onto high school, going from next grade to the next. As we pass the tests of faith, we move to the next grade. And how many of us understand once you pass the course, there are more exams to come? That's the life of faith. Why? Because He is working in us. He is working in our lives to build us up in our faith. But here's a comforting thought to take comfort in. And why how can we have joy while we're chastened? Because we understand that through this, if we endure, then we're moving forward. We're progressing. We're growing. Sometimes we wonder, are we making any progress at all? Have you ever thought about that in your Christian life? Am I really making any progress? Am I really moving forward? Well, the good news is, you will and you can, if you endure the chastening of God, you will make greater progress in your walk and your work for the Lord. So we need to see the benefits of God's chastening. We will progress. Now, picture the Christian life as climbing a mountain. Now, it's harder to climb up than it is to climb down, would you agree? Same thing in the Christian life. When you and I fall backwards, we slide down very quickly. And climbing the mountain, if you will, moving forwards, is much harder. But the reality is, though it will be slow to move upwards and forwards, though it will be a process that includes difficulty, we will move forward. We will move onwards and upwards by faith if we endure God's chastening. We are progressing. And sometimes it's hard to realize we're making any progress at all. Our growth seems so small and our faith seems so small. Sometimes we think we're standing still. But we can never stand still in the Christian life. Either we're moving forward or we're going back. Either we're progressing or we are regressing. We're moving up or we're moving down. And God wants us to move in which direction? Forward. That's why He's given us Hebrews chapter 12. Because we forget the exhortation, as verse 5 tells us in Hebrews 12. The Lord says, "You've forgotten one important truth, the chastening of the Lord." And so the Jewish believers that this book was written to were experiencing trials, persecution, suffering for their faith, and the Lord had to remind them that He has allowed this for a reason. And the ones who are persecuting them are not to blame. They need to look to God by faith in what He has allowed and understand that this is for the good of their faith and for the glory of God. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12 is an interesting verse. If you are in the book of Hebrews, have a look in chapter 5 and verse 12. Notice what chapter 5 verse 12 says, and this is a rebuke to these Christians. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Well, what was the writer saying? He was saying to these believers, you're not progressing. You're not moving forward. He was saying to them, by now you should be teaching others. You should be discipling someone. You should be passing on the faith. But you haven't moved forward. You haven't been growing in your faith. You haven't been progressing. And in fact, you need to go back to the basic truths, because that's where you're at. See, he was saying, you ought to have a graduate degree by now, but what? Where are you as a Christian? He said, you're back in kindergarten. You're back in kindergarten. And why was that such a rebuke? Because they were not progressing. Why were they not progressing? Because they weren't enduring the chastening of the Lord. And the most miserable Christian is the Christian that resists God's chastening, that rejects God's chastening, that doesn't want Him to do what He desires to do. And as Christians, we need to understand the importance of this subject. If we forget about this subject, then there's no way we can grow by faith. Why? Isn't there a way around it? Well, what I read in the Scriptures is that you cannot be a Christian and avoid God's chastening. It's impossible. It's impossible. We talked about this already, haven't we? It's because of His love that He chastens us. It's because of His love that He corrects us. If we are not under His chastening hand, then we are not under the love of God. We are not even a child of God. And that's a comforting thing to know, because when He does chasten us, we know, hey, I am a child of God. He's dealing with me. He's helping me. He's correcting me. You know, our children don't like it when we correct them, but it's for their good. It's for their protection. It's for their spiritual benefit. And good things come as a result. And you know, even with our children, and that's probably a good example, we think to ourselves, I keep correcting them, I keep correcting them, I keep correcting them. And have you ever had with your children, and you're thinking to yourself, is anything sinking in? They keep doing the same thing over and over again. And I keep correcting them. Should I stop? Should I give up? You know, is there any progress at all? And then one day you realize they start to say, please. Where did that come from? They start to say, thank you. You know, when you've worked on manners for a number of years and you think, maybe my children are just the rotten exception and they're never going to be polite. They're never going to say hello to people. And yet by faith, what do? We correct them. We correct them. We correct them lovingly and firmly, as the Bible says. We think, well, there's no progress. Nothing's going to happen. But by faith, there's progress. Same in our lives. When God corrects us, if we endure, if we respond by faith, though you may think you're going nowhere, and you might say, I'm just enduring and I don't think I'm moving forward at all in my Christian life, that's not true. The Bible says, nevertheless, always the more, we will move forward in the Christian life if we endure, if we allow God to do what He desires us to do. See, faith lets us believe that progress is happening whether we feel it is or not. Feelings will deceive us. What we see will deceive us. The just shall live by faith. That's how it is in life. Whether it's with our children or in the ministry or in our marriages, as we invest time, as we allow God to teach us, to help us to grow in time to come, maybe not a day or a week or a month, but maybe after a year, maybe or 2 years, we can look back and we can see the difference God's work in our lives has made by faith. We can see the difference, but we need to endure. We can be joyful. We can be joyful. We can say, hey, God is in this. I can be joyful. Secondly, I'm going to move forward in the Christian life. I'm going to grow from this. I'm going to graduate to the next level in the Christian life through this trial He's allowed. And we can be joyful, can't we, because of that. We all want to grow by faith. And it's through His chastening that we do so. So that's how we can have joy. Thirdly, in your notes, joy in the end. joy in the end. Your last blank, your second last blank is the word end. We can have joy in the end. Notice Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. If you're there in the book of Hebrews or in your notes, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Look with me once again. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. If you and I are going to be joyful when God deals with us as His children, we need to look at what will happen in the end. Is that right? That's what the Bible is saying. If we understand what will happen in the end, we can be joyful in the present. We can be joyful right now, though we're experiencing God's chastening hand, if we understand what will happen in the end. You see, not only are things not as they seem, but also they will not be as they seem. God has placed us in a situation for a future purpose. For a future purpose. I think Joseph is probably one of the best examples of this reality. Joseph, undergoing trial after trial after trial in Egypt, beginning with probably the worst one, his brothers wanting to kill him, get rid of him, lying about him to their father, his father thinking that he's dead, thrust into Egypt. And you know what happened to Joseph? So he was being chastened. Now remember, the word chastened means to educate, to teach, in order to grow in faith. Joseph didn't do anything wrong, would you agree? But he was being moved forward by faith under the hand of God. Now it wasn't comfortable what he experienced. In fact, if you spend some time reading about Joseph's life and you put yourself in his shoes, it was horribly painful. It was terribly lonely. Being in a foreign land, I mean, his brothers basically chose the rest of his life for him. Joseph was a young man. He had the rest of his life in front of him. He had his youth, you know, he had his faith. He had probably plans and dreams of what he wanted to do. And it seemed like when he was thrust into Egypt, all his choices were torn away from him in an instant. He couldn't choose what to wear anymore. He couldn't choose what to eat anymore. He couldn't choose what to do with his life anymore. Every choice had been made up for him suddenly. And he found himself in a situation now as a believer in the Lord. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Now, he could have just killed himself in the prison, taken his own life, run away and allow his owners to kill him as a result. He could have given up. He could have gone into a pit of depression and fallen apart. But when we see how he responded in each situation, we see the faith of Joseph. He knew that God was in control. And how did he maintain that joy in the trial? How? Well, he knew something good would come out of this. He had, not in his hands, but in his heart, the promises of God. He knew the vision that God had given him that had offended his brothers so much. That one day they'll bow down before him. Is that right? Now you and I also have the promises of God. Right here in verse 11. We know that in the end, something good will come from it. What happened to Joseph? Well, Joseph said to his brothers, "Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." And that's what is taking place when we are chastened. We think God's chastening is evil unto me, but in the end, if we would simply look forward by faith and see the end, God means it unto good. Amen. Every single time. But that's a difficult thing to see. We can't see it physically. Because physically, we see the opposite. The pain, the suffering, the darkness, the agony. But by faith, we see the light. By faith alone, we see that God has placed us where we are for a future purpose. We will move forward. We will grow if we endure. And we can have joy in knowing the end result will be good for me, will be good for those around me. God is doing something much greater than I can see in the present. The Lord Jesus Christ is probably the best example, of course, in enduring joy, in enduring with joy. Notice Hebrews 12, chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus. When we're chastened, who do we look to? Who's our greatest example? The Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Who for the, what's the next word?
Joy.
What joy? How could he possibly have joy in the crucifixion? The most horrible and torturous means of death that the Roman Empire could ever conjure up, that's what he experienced. How could he possibly experience joy for the joy that was set before him? He endured the cross. How did the Lord have joy? Because the Lord did not focus on the cross. He focused on the crown. The Lord did not focus the torment. He focused on the triumph to come. Amen. 3 days later, the triumph will come. But the present situation was not joyous, but he could have joy knowing what was to come. Does that make sense? That's how you and I need to live, by faith. He knew he was on his way back home. He knew his work was almost finished. He knew that even in the midst of the horrible pain, there was hope in the future. See, we have great hope in the Christian life. If we simply live by faith, we need to see what's going to come afterwards. What's going to come afterwards? It's good for us to sit down at times when we are struggling, when we are discouraged, to realize, why am I not having joy in this situation? Well, the fruit of the Spirit is joy. The works of the flesh are not. Unrest, unbelief. So then I must be not trusting in the Lord as I should. I can have joy because in the unseen world, which is faith, he's at work, he's in control. He's designed this for me, is that right? I can have joy because as I endure, I'm moving forward. What am I moving forward to? But in the end, what does verse 11 say? In the end, if we are exercised, what a great word, exercised through this chastening, we are being educated and trained and we're allowing God to teach us, then great things will come out of this. I'll be moved forward in my faith. Lastly, joy in the results. There in your notes, joy in the results. Your last blank is the word results. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Lastly, we need to see the fruit. The fruit. The peaceable fruit. Can you see the word peaceable there this morning? Can everyone see that in verse 11? Peaceable fruit. You see, we can have joy and we can have peace when we're being chastened, because the results will be wonderful and we know God is in control, and there'll be a tremendous peace that comes as a result. The peace of knowing that we are right with God. If we stay under his chastening hand and he changes us, then as we come through that, what do we know? What do we have peace about? Well, I'm right with God now. If he chastens me, I'm not talking about you, I'm not accusing anyone of anything. If he chastens me for a sin, as I endure that and change my heart about it and look to the Lord by faith, then I know and I have peace that I'm right with God again. Amen? I have that peace in my heart. And I have peace in knowing that I'm right with myself. My conscience is not accusing me any longer. I have peace with knowing I'm right with others, not worrying about what others think and what they know I've done wrong. And so often we love our sin and we despise God's chastening. And what's the result of that kind of life? No peace. We have no peace. When you and I despise God's chastening, we say no to him, I don't want this in my life, we have no peace. Would you agree? We have no rest in our souls. The Lord says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. If we stay under his hand of chastening, we will experience peace and joy And ultimately, the righteousness that He's working in us. He's made us righteous in Christ, and then He's practically changing us to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, that's uncomfortable. That means the old James needs to die. And I love the old James. The old James is all that I know until I got saved. But the old James is still with me. And that old James needs to be broken, put away. Many words in the Bible, subdued, exactly. Needs to be put down, the old flesh. God wants to create a new James. And He started a good work in us when we got saved, and that work will continue until the day of Jesus Christ. So He's changing you into the righteousness of Christ. He's changing me into the righteousness of Christ. But the only way that that's possible, the only way that His will be done in our lives is through His chastening work. Can't get around it. So we might as well live by faith and have joy. Doesn't seem joyful, but we need to get past what things seem. Is that right? What we can see. We need to live by faith. And God says in verse 11, if I'll put it into a few words, you will love. He's telling us, you will love what will happen as a result. So just endure, God is saying. Endure and respond by faith in me, and you will love what will happen in the end. Students in the school of faith who stick with it and do not give up, like these heroes of the faith, will receive a good report in the end. But we receive more than that. We receive joy in the middle of our greatest testings. Friend, God only knows what you are going through right now, what He has allowed in your life. What is He trying to teach you? One thing's for sure, He's trying to teach all of us to live by faith, not by sight. Not like I used to live before I was saved, only by what I could see. Now it's time to live by faith. Let me encourage you, you can have joy if we put verse 11 down into our hearts.